Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to the Living in Bosnia and Herzegovina podcast.
Welcome along to another Living in Bosnia and Herzegovina podcast with me, David,
and Tamara Pacinovic-Bailey.
See, she knows her own name now.
Finally, after 47 years, I learned it.
When you said 47 years, I thought, what? We haven't been married that long. Anyway, nevertheless, welcome along to the podcast, and you will have seen the title for this week's podcast is 90 in 180.
We've had whatever that means, but you will find out if you stay till the end.
You're going to find out. We get a lot of questions, and we do actually, through the year, especially from YouTubers, people watch YouTube rather, who say, how easy is it to come and stay in BIH, in Bosnia and Herzegovina? And we've also had a friend that used to come and visit us, and he was also confused by the 90 in 180 day rule, which is...
I'm also confused by that rule.
I'm going to try...
I still don't get it, so please try to explain it properly.
I've tried to explain it to you so many times and you still
I cannot get it.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that and a little bit about what you need to get a residency visa for a year here in the country. So let's go back to what the title of the podcast is, 90 in 180 days. When you come to visit Bosnia and Herzegovina, you will cross the border, and the first thing that should happen is you should get a stamp in your passport. Don't worry if you don't, because I can tell you without a doubt, your passport will be swiped through
a computer system, and then you will stay in the system.
And you're in the system, and they know exactly when you entered the country.
And who you are.
And who you are. Now, the rules quite clearly state, although not many people do it, to be honest, and I used to be very guilty of this back in the day, but within 24 hours, you should report to the local police station of next to where you're living. Okay, in our case, we live in a village near Laktashi in the north of the country. We go to the police station in Laktashi.
So basically, what you do, so when you enter the Bosnia and Herzegovina, you go to the first police station that's near where you're staying, and then you register there and you get a white carton on a white card.
White card, yeah.
You get a white card, and then you have to pay a tax. I think it's a 1 mark per day or something, because you have to pay a tourist tax.
Tourist tax
to stay here. So you're supposed to do that. But however, if you don't do that, you might be okay, because they don't check that too much still at the border when you leave the country.
That's right. But the rules...
But if you get caught by the inspector in Banja Luka or anywhere you go, you might get into trouble.
Correct. So this is what happens. You go to the police station. They will give you a white card. All the details that they need are on your passport.
It's super easy. It's nothing too complicated.
Nothing difficult at all. And then you stay for your time in Bosnia-Herzegovina with that card in your passport. And when you leave the country, the border officer will take it out of your passport. Now, you are entitled to be in the country of Bosnia and Herzegovina for 90 days in any 180 days. And this is what confuses people. It used to confuse me. I actually got caught out and fined, but that wasn't a problem anymore because I'm a model citizen, I think. But this is what happens. What you should do if you're going to visit BIH is mark on a calendar the day that you are entering the country, and then go forward. So if it's in June, go up to the end of the year, 180 days later, and make another line in your calendar, right? That's 180 days. Within that period, you can stay in this country for 90 days. That's 90 days, one after the other, two periods of 45 days, or 90 individual one-day trips. 90 days in 180 days. And of course, it moves.
Okay. And what we used to do before is we think that, like, you stay 90 days, then you go for 2 days, you know, somewhere in Graz or Vienna, have a nice
Zagreb,
weekend,
yeah.
Or Zagreb, and then you come back and then you stay another days. But that's not the rule. You have 180 days to fill up your 90 days, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So that's your tourist visa. It's called a tourist visa. Apart from a very small handful of countries, you don't have to pay for the visa, and you get it via that stamp when you enter the country. Now, you can also stay, as far as I'm led to believe, for 6 months. But in that case, you need, before your 90 days is over, to go to the local foreigner's office, which is part of the BIH border service, and they will sort you out. But I do know that once you've had 6 months, you ain't going to get another one, and you'll have to leave the country for 6 months. Now, if you want to stay long term, you want to come and live here.
If you find a nice girl.
Or boy.
You want to marry,
yeah.
And things, you have to have some papers ready to apply for your long term stay.
Yeah, and this is called a D residence visa. They are issued for 1 year only. You can reapply for 5 times, that's 5 years consecutive. And then on the 6th year, you can apply for either permanent residence here
or citizenship.
We will not talk about permanent residence or citizenship or anything else
in this podcast.
Like that.
Yeah.
Now, there are three areas that I know of, I know of one that I think works, where you can apply for a visa to stay here long term. One is by being married to a citizen of Bosnia and Herzegovina. The second is proving that you are in a long-term relationship. Now, I don't know what the officials require to prove that. You call it a French marriage, right?
French marriage, yes.
I think the old word in English was a common law.
Yeah, common law marriage.
And the third...
By the law, that's acceptable here.
Yeah.
And common law people have the same rights as the married people.
And the third, which I think works, is if you have... bought property, you own property in BIH, in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but you need to check that out. So what we're going to talk you through now, if you think about coming here, you need basically to be married to somebody or a long-term relationship.
Yes.
I've gone through this, so there are things that you do on year one and different things to do on years 2, 3, 4, and 5.
A little bit easier on other years.
Okay. First things to think about is... you need to go to the foreigner's office in the town or the municipality where you are that is run by the immigration service of the border service, and tell them that you want to apply for a residence visa. Now, Tamara has helped me out. We've got the piece of paper from all those years ago, from that first application, and what you will require to get. You can do this. We did our first one in a week.
Yeah.
And our subsequent ones, it only took us 3 days. So the first thing that the border officer...
No. The first one took more than a week.
Did it?
Yeah. How much? Around 10 days.
About 10 days.
Because okay. He had a problem with the health insurance. Right.
At the bottom of... Just to let you know, at this stage of chatting to Tam, what number is at the bottom of your... Number 17, right?
17. There's a 17 pieces of paper.
You're going to need 17 pieces of paper.
For the first time.
For the first application.
For the second and all the other times, it's
That's right.
14.
Okay, so the first thing you need to do is?
To apply.
So you go to the border.
They have an application, and you need to pay administrative tax, which is 150 marks.
Which is 75 euros, about 75 pounds. Right. Once you've applied, you will get given a piece of paper by the border officer, by the immigration officer, sorry, that says that you have applied, and you have to complete your application within 1 month.
Yeah.
30 calendar days. All right. So it's not like I've applied, I can take my time. You've got 1 month to get all this stuff together. Okay. Number two.
Okay. Number three. That was number three. You need a photograph, two photographs for the first time and one photograph for every other time.
Basically for passport photos.
Passport photographs. Yes. Then you need a verified photocopy of your passport, and the passport needs to be valid 3 months. It needs to be at least 3 months after the period you're applying for.
Okay, so if you're applying for a year, you need to have 15 months valid on your passport.
Yes.
Also, when you take your passport, you photocopy it, you must take it to a notary. Here it's called an advocat, and they will then put the stamp on it, on your photocopy, to say that it is legal. This does not come free. You have to pay for this.
Yes.
We'll talk about the final
fees
at the end.
But it's not budget breaking.
We'll tell you what the final fee is at the end. Next
okay,
one.
And then you need a photocopy of that white card that you get when you go and register yourself in a police station.
So that first card, which
first
you've got.
First card you get.
Which is still valid. Ha ha.
Yes, you need that as well.
Because if it's
only
not,
for the first time.
Yeah, because if it's not valid, then you're going to be in the country illegally and you could get fined. Which I did. We can tell you about that in another story, in another podcast.
Yes,
next,
and we are talking here about long-term stay for over 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
Yeah, and then the number six is... that's what it is. Name a number six. Number six is for the first time now.
Yeah.
You need to have a proof that you have a place where to live and stay.
So, yeah, so you need
so
that.
So explain that.
So, for me, knowing Tam, where Tam lives, the property at the moment is in her parents' name, not in her name.
My dad's name, actually.
So, we needed to get a piece of paper from her dad saying that you can stay here and that it is his property. Okay, once again, you can write it and that person can sign it.
The only thing is that you write it, the person signs it, agrees to it, and you have to go and verify it in the municipality.
And that comes with
and
a
And that person needs to come with you with their ID number.
Yeah, so you need to get that, and that has to be verified.
And then in the center where you get a paper from the... You need to prove that that house belongs to him. So you go, what's the name of that place? Catasta.
You go to the land registry.
Land registry to get that piece of paper.
Right, next.
Next, then you need a health checkup. You need a health checkup that you are healthy, and then you need some diseases like syphilis and some...
AIDS and everything else.
AIDS and like that.
You will be told by your immigration officer...
There are about 10 different places where you can get it in Banja Luka. They will tell you exactly where.
If you apply in Sarajevo, Mostar, Zenica, wherever, they will have their own number of... let's say authorized and certified medical centers or medical practices where you go. You have to pay for them.
They're about 100 to 150 marks.
Yeah, and they're, you know, it's just...
50 euros about.
Yes, yeah, just the way it is. I did mine. There was nothing difficult, nothing harsh or hard at all.
Yeah. And then for the first time, you need to get a piece of paper from your country of birth that you don't have any criminal record.
For me, being a Brit, I had to send back to for a criminal record check. That was done within just a few days, and they sent me an e-copy of that, and my immigration officer accepted that. In subsequent years, though, you go to the MUP, to the Ministry of Interior, who run the police here, and they do a criminal record check on you. And we also have to go to the court.
Yes. And this needs to be translated into local language.
Yeah. So everything that you have that's in English.
But official translation. It cannot be just a normal translation from somebody else. It needs to be official translation.
And you'll find those everywhere in BIH. Find, what do they call it?
Sudski tumats.
Yeah. And you go there and they do all the documents for you and you pay. How much do we
Children
pay?
Up to 14 years old don't need this criminal record check.
Okay, because they're innocent.
If you're bringing your children.
How much did our translator cost per document, the one that we use in Banja Luka?
The one in Banja Luka, 20 marks.
That's £10.
Yeah.
But that was for quite a few pages, wasn't it?
No, just one document.
Was it? Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's a 20 marks per page.
So we've been to the police in England, or where your home country, you've got a criminal record check. For subsequent years, you're going to have to go to the MUP, to the Ministry of the Interior, to get that. And for second and further years, you go to the court.
So further down, you go into this country to get the criminal record check. You don't have to order it from your own country of birth. Yeah.
Okay, after that. So we've done the police, we've done the court.
Then you need the proof of marriage.
Yeah, that's a marriage certificate.
That's done in municipality.
I don't know what it costs to get an international one or anything if you're outside the country coming in. But for us, we married here, so it was a breeze.
And to give a tip, everything was much cheaper to do it in Laktashi than in Banja Luka. So we did everything in Banja Luka, in Laktashi, and they are all connected, all the offices. So all these papers that you need, now we're going to talk about them. You do it in the municipality, and they are cheaper in a smaller opština.
Yeah, okay. So next...
Okay, then you need to prove that your spouse is a citizen of Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Yeah.
Also done in municipality.
What did you have to prove? Just with your birth certificate and...
No, they have it there in the books. Oh, you just have to ask what you need.
Didn't I need a birth certificate as well?
No, was for the marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Not for this.
Yeah, the birth certificate for the marriage was a bit of a pain. Okay, go on.
Okay, and then you need to go to TIPS, which is MUP. Which is a police station where you live to get your... where are you staying? But your spouse.
Your spouse.
Your spouse.
So you had to go to SIPS.
So I have to go there. And the last few years, that thing is free now. But it used to be charged 10 marks. So now this paper of criminal record, and this is free. No, the paper of criminal record in municipality is 10 marks now. But it's raining.
It's raining. It's raining. Sorry about that. And next?
Then you need kuchna lista, which is like a piece of paper telling how many people live in that household where you're going to stay.
Once again, that has to be verified?
In municipality, cheaper in Laktashi than in Banja Luka. And then you need proof that you are... the proof that you can support yourself or that your spouse can support you. So anything that... can prove that you have money to live here while you're applying for this residency.
So for me, I'm retired from the UK, so I have a pension. For me, being from the UK, I applied to the Department of Works and Pensions back in the UK, and they sent me a copy of a projection of my monthly payments on my pension, and I gave that to the immigration officer, and he accepted that. I do believe as well that if you can't get hold of that, if you have a bank statement that clearly shows that you're getting paid a salary or paid a pension or whatever, then they accept that as well.
Okay, then you need the proof that you have a health insurance, which for the first time you should get it from like a private company, and you pay only for 1 year, and that's, we don't know how much that now is, but it's about maybe 300 to 500 marks. So you need to have that for 1 year, and you also need to prove that your spouse has a health insurance.
So for me, we got a health insurance to start off with. Tamara's covered by the state health care service here. But because we were married in the second year and subsequent years to that, what had happened is...
David pays for his insurance. I pay 12% from her pension. So he's considered as an INO pensioner. So he pays every month and he gets total care
So I pay 12% of my pension into the state healthcare system here, which I don't begrudge for a number of reasons. One, I haven't been here all my life and paying into it like everybody else, other citizen. True. So I'm paying later. I get full coverage. And also, as a pensioner, I don't have prescription charges or anything like that. So a lot of the stuff I get here is free, which I would never get back in the UK anyway.
No, I have to pay small fees for everything.
And so today I have a little blue book, which is my health book. So when I go to the doctors or I go to the emergency room or whatever, I have a number and I have details. And it also shows that I am paid up.
Yes.
So every time I pay for it. In the future, I may not have to do that. But at the moment, I do. I
have a plastic card now. It's a new project they have.
All digitized.
So like in Canada, we have a health plastic cards. And that's about it. So if you want to talk about the costs now, that's all depends. But only on the first papers.
On the first time, it was 150 for the application.
150 for application. First time, 300 marks for the health insurance you paid. I don't know. I lost the count for how many translations we needed.
We
didn't count that. But overall, without translations, without the health insurance, you need about from 250 to 300 marks. Minus health insurance and translations.
Yeah, I can actually say that 200 to 300 marks is for years two and onwards. You need to do 5 years. Before you can apply for your permanent residency or citizenship. But I think the first year is quite pricey.
Yes.
But you have to weigh that off. You have to weigh off the fact that you're wanting to come and stay in the country. They do have law. They do not want to have, you know, bad people, if you will, criminals or unhealthy people in, because it will drain on their already stretched systems that they have. So I don't begrudge that. I think on the first...
And don't worry, even if you have to pay, it's not bank-breaking.
It's not budget-breaking.
It's very affordable.
It is. And, you know, we always laugh between ourselves. The immigration officer that I had, after the first year, you sort of like build up a relationship. They're not corrupt. They're not going to do things for free. But, you know,
they just follow the law.
Yeah, they follow the law. And when you come in, there's a smile on the face. They know you and all the rest of it. Oh, one of the other things that happens during this process, you will get visited by the police.
Yes.
They come along as part of the check.
So don't freak out.
Yeah, you shouldn't freak out when the police say, is so-and-so living here? Because part of the immigration acceptance system is that they need to see you at your place of residence.
Yes.
And that,
where you said that you're going to live. So everything is okay.
We had a laugh one time because... the police came up and I'd already got my residency sticker for the year at that time in my passport and said, no, it's not you. We're looking for these two other Brits that live in the village.
Which we don't know them.
I mean, come on, this isn't a huge place, but we couldn't find them. So that's it. I hope that we've given you a view and answered questions that you might have about 90 in 180 days. Please don't abuse it. Because you will get caught out. The systems here, Bosnia used to be a totally dysfunctional and, you know, chaotic country.
Things are working out now.
Every day, it gets more and more professional. I had a friend that came to the country and stayed 6 months. He got told off by the immigration officer. And after that, he used to do 90 days in Bosnia, 90 days in Montenegro, 90 days in Macedonia, then go over to Serbia and then come back here. So that's it. If you are thinking of coming and staying long term,
if you have any more questions and we can figure it out for you, so you can just send us a message
or email or whatever.
Get in contact and we can help you.
It's cool.
Also, if you want to visit this country, we can help you, give you tips and tricks where to go, what to eat and what to do.
It's called a residence D visa. But you'll find out more about that if you go to Immigration Bosnia and Herzegovina. It's raining outside, which is typical for autumn, isn't it? Yesen. See? I'm learning. God, I'm slow with the language. So that's it from this edition of the podcast. Next podcast, we could be talking pivo and sir.
Yes, from where?
Beer and cheese. From a Trappist monastery.
Oh, you should have left it as a secret.
Well, they don't know what's coming.
It's
do they?
Very popular. It's by the old French tradition of making cheese and beer in Banja Luka.
Okay, until the next one, from me and her.
Tamara Pečinović Bailey, vidimo se, doviđenja, goodbye. And how do you say pain in the šupak?
Pain in the ass.
Smarač.
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 Am I smarač?
Smarač. No, you're not.
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com. See you next time.
That's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pečinović Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.